Today's reading is from Matthew 15, 16 through 20. Turn to Matthew 15, 16 through 20 in your Bibles, or page 7096 in the Bibles provided. Verse 16, "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." You may be seated. Children may go to children's church.
Churches are sometimes known not only for Jesus Christ, but also for their peculiar habits. One of those habits, is known as the church split. It's not a good habit. So I found silly things that churches have argued about from TomRainer.com. He works with churches across the United States. One time, a deacon accused another deacon of sending an anonymous letter. I guess he didn't like it because he decided that they should settle the matter out in the parking lot. I don't think Jesus ever was into fisticuffs. There was one time a fight over whether or not to build a children's playground or to use the land for cemetery. I guess that is a reasonable decision one should make. But you wonder why they wouldn't want a children's playground. There was once an argument over the appropriate length of the worship pastor's beard. In our case, we should have a bylaws that our worship pastor does have a beard. One time there was an argument and a vote to decide if the clock in the worship center should be removed. It's a very, very important issue. I expect us to meet today and discuss our clock back there and decide if it's the right size or not. There was once a 45-minute heated argument over the type of filing cabinets to purchase, whether they should be black or brown, two, three, or four drawers. I think 45 minutes is way too short. You could discuss those kind of things for hours. Then there is a very important fight over which picture of Jesus to put in the foyer. I guess some people thought maybe they had original photos. There was a petition to have all the church staff clean shaven. Because if they're clean shaven, then you don't have to worry about the length of the beard. There was a dispute once whether the Lord's Supper should use cran grape instead of grape when grape's not available. There is a major conflict when the youth borrowed a crock pot, which seemed odd because nobody had used the crock pot in over a year. And then there was the all-important discussion, should the church allow at potlucks deviled eggs? I know deviled food cake's out. And of course, that same meeting, should they use the term potluck? Or should they change it to pot blessing? Because potluck just looks a little too much like gambling. And then lastly, one church member hid the vacuum cleaner from other church members, which resulted in a major church fight and therefore a split. Unfortunately, I do not believe this is comedy. These are true stories that have happened in the church. When we say major on the minors and minor on the majors, this is a definite, definite example of believing and fighting for the wrong things. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today to study your word, the book of Matthew, the life of Jesus, Lord, let us always have a heart for what is important. Lord, give us the wisdom to know when to fight and when not to, and what is worth fighting over. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. So the question becomes, who are you going to listen to? You know, sometimes mom and dad just said, because, and that closed the argument. So beginning in Matthew 15, verse 1, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked. They had questions. See, Jesus was probably up in Galilee at this time. They came all the way from Jerusalem. It wasn't a simple trip. And the Pharisees were these religious leaders. They had a group. They met. And these teachers of the law were probably particular Pharisees who had a higher position maybe within the Pharisaical group. They transcribed Bibles. They would interpret. And they would make laws to make sure we fulfill. So they were probably one and the same. The teachers of the law were probably a subset of the Pharisees. And they asked, why do disciples break the tradition of the elders? Lots of tradition of the elders. And I'm not against traditions. You know, when you're kind of thinking, which ones? And he goes, they don't wash their hands before they eat. See, you should always listen to mom and dad, and now Pharisees, because you should wash your hands before you eat. I mean, that's just what mom and dad said. How many times when you're a kid, you come to the table and you said, wash your hands, and you went like, not even close. And she should have said sometimes, and did you clean your fingernails? What are these traditions of the elders? Is this really about hygiene? And Jesus replied, why do you break the command of God for the sake of tradition? So one of these traditions of the elders was obviously washing your hands before you eat. But what other commands were they breaking? I mean, they can't just be caught up on hand washing. And what are all these traditions? What are these commands? And Jesus now states and unpacks some of this in verse 4. For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. So obviously, they weren't honoring their mother and father. But I think mom and dad say, wash your hands. We're listening to them. So something else is going on here. They're not honoring their mother and father and washing your hands. We're like, okay, there's like a 2,000 cultural drift here. 2,000 years of cultural drift. And now Jesus picks up on the major traditional issue. In verse 5, but you say that if anyone declares what might have been used for it to help their father or mother is devoted to God. So you're saying whatever it should be for mom and dad is devoted to God. Well, that sounds good, devoted to God. They are not to honor their mother or father with it. Well, that sounds bad. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Now, if you're just reading this, you're like, I am utterly lost. Hand washing, they're not honoring their mom and dad. They're devoted to God, but they're not. Well, here's what's going on. It's a thing called Corban. And what it was a great loop in the tax code. See, what you did is, you've got money. You're supposed to take care of mom and dad. Maybe you don't like mom and dad anymore. Maybe you're resentful. Maybe you're greedy and like money more than mom and dad. So you invoke Corban. And what that rule was, you have now devoted your money to God. I mean, how righteous is that? You can't argue with that. I'm a pastor. You devote your money to God, I'm all in, right? No, it's total manipulation. They've got their tradition. We're going to devote our money to God. Sorry, mom and dad, you're on your own. Hungry tonight? Well, I've devoted all your money to God. Now, you shouldn't argue with that, mom and dad, because it's for God. You know, when somebody pulls the it's for God card, it's kind of hard to argue with, isn't it? Poor mom and dad. Now, how are you supposed to know that? It's not in there, right? And I always say that the Bible's for everyone, and right now it seems a little confusing, and 98% of the time, most of the stuff is pretty clear, maybe 95%. And this is one of those 2, 3, 4, or 5% times where you need a little help. And that's where it's good to be able to ask your pastor. You see, before church today, the band was making fun of me, and they wanted to ask me a question because they said, now you got that fancy smancy degree, and you should be able to help us with this. Luckily, Steve Zillifro bailed me out, and he answered the question for him. So I still got to show off my fancy smancy degree yet, and I get to do that this morning. You see, you could go to Steve, you could go to me, but most of you will probably go to the internet first, which is just wonderful. When I was a kid and I liked football statistics, I had to buy a new book or a new magazine each year for each season. Now it's all online. It's right there and it's free. Well, for $40 a month for your internet, or $60 or $70. And, you know, there's a lot of good stuff on the internet. I mean, there's just so many things to find. When I want to look something up, you just go, hey, Siri, you know, Alexa, what's this? There's a lot of good stuff. There's also a lot of bad stuff, and there's so much stuff, it's hard to know what's good and what's not. It's overwhelming. There's too much information. It's an information overload. And you're like, I'm just trying to figure out what Corbin is. And I didn't even know. And, you know, right now you're at a spot where I didn't even know I was supposed to look for that word. You see, because it's not in Matthew. It's in the book of Mark when it tells a synonymous story. And why does Mark say Corbin and why does Matthew not? What is wrong with Matthew? Was he lazy? Obviously not. His book is twice as long as Mark's. Mark was the lazy one. And what's going on here? Mark was written really for Gentiles, the Roman Gentiles. And they wouldn't know what Corbin is or even that there's such a thing. He doesn't explain it, but he tells them about the word. Matthew's written to a Jewish audience. They would kind of just know this. So Matthew doesn't feel he has to really unpack it, let alone say the word. And this is where a pastor comes in. You know, I can either say, yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know either. Or, oh, yeah, let me tell you where to go or let me tell you what that is. And there's so many resources, but how do you know which good? Well, up here with this picture of the Pharisees giving Jesus the business, there's a www.bibleref.com. And it's a great site for basic information. And if you look it up, even though the word Corbin isn't in the book of Matthew, it would tell you about Corbin and what's going on. See, now you don't need me. I'm out of a job. But the issue is, Jesus is usually really, you read the book of Matthew, it's very understandable, but there's always going to be difficult situations. And I encourage you not to give up. It just takes a little work. Isn't the Word of God worth it? It just needs a little insight, a little work. And there's references. You have pastors. And you can find these answers. Because this is important. Because if you don't understand this, the whole thing is like hand washing, devoted to God. And once you understand Corbin, you understand what the Pharisees are doing. Because they devote their money to God, the temple. They don't give it to their parents. Guess who works in the temple? The Pharisees. Or once mom and dad are dead, you could nullify it, I guess annul it, and now you have your money, and mom and dad lived in poverty. How pathetic is that? It says, honor your mother and father, and they use traditions and loopholes to get out of it. That's pathetic. And so Jesus says, verse 7, you hypocrites. He's reading from Isaiah 29:13. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. It's all talk and no action. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. Jesus is incredibly frustrated. One of the ways I could put this in human terms today is you get an accountant, and there's tax codes. And the accountant has all these opinions about how the tax code works. Because, you know, the tax code, you think the Bible's complicated at sometimes. Try reading the tax code. You know, you call the IRS, they don't even know what it means. And if they give you the wrong answer, it's still your fault. And they let's say your accountant gives you loopholes, ways to get around it. Well, it says this, yeah, but we can stretch the meaning of that and we can do this. And sometimes for accountants, they give you good advice. And sometimes accountants can help you cheat the government for your own financial doing. That's what the Pharisees were doing. They didn't kind of come up with ways to reinforce honoring your mother and dad, to help you honor mother and dad. Rather, they're coming up with loopholes to get out of doing your normal duty and having more money for yourself. Their own little rules nullified the very word of God. These are Pharisees, teachers of the law. Their whole job was to help the average person follow God. And instead, they were enriching their pockets and nullifying, ignoring what God had told them. So, Pharisees, the big question is, why would they do this? They lost their heart. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of their time. They'd lost their way. They were the political leaders. They were under Rome, but they basically had all the politics covered. They didn't have separation of church and state. And, you know, they were kind of the upper echelon, the elite, the one percenters, the celebrities of their time. They would go around in flowing robes. You know, today we care about what Kim Kardashian wears. I'm sure they were saying, did you see what Pharisee Bob was wearing today? What's Pharisee Bob doing now? They really were like everything, the religious, the political, the celebrity person of their time. So then the question becomes, who is the Pharisees of today? Because if this word is timeless, well, the Pharisees are all gone. You haven't seen somebody in a robe like this unless you go to Israel today. Pastors, can they be Pharisees? The Pope. The Pope's the Pharisee. Because, you know, we're Protestant, he's Catholic, so it must be the Pope. But the Pope probably says all us pastors are Pharisees. Christians in general are all Pharisees. You've heard it said, you know, the problem with Christianity is they're all a bunch of hypocrites. And that's what Jesus called the Pharisees. So it's not just me, you're all Pharisees. Maybe it's the political leaders, all those Republicans, Democrats, the Green Party, the Libertarian Party. They could be the Pharisees. Celebrities, the royalty of our time, the elites. So is it me? Is it Oprah? Is it the politicians? We really don't know who it is, just by name. Because see, there were good Pharisees. There were. They started out good. And they just got corrupt. I'm not joking. There are good politicians. I'm not joking. There are good celebrities. And I'm not joking. There are good pastors. But there are pastors that would steal you blind. They have been given the grace and mercy to preach, and all they do is use the pulpit for their own means. There's politicians that do that. There are celebrities that do that. And it's wrong and it's hypocritical. And one day we'll stand before God. And we're no different than those Pharisees who would rob their own mom and dad. But they were doing it for God. Okay. Maybe you can lie to yourself. Maybe you think you can lie to God. But God knows your heart. It says God cannot be mocked. He knows your heart. So Jesus in verse 10 calls the crowd. Listen and understand, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is what defiles them. So according to Jesus, you are not what you eat. You are much more than your physical body. Then the disciples came to him and asked, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? I think two things were going on. One, maybe the disciples were a little offended. And they were worried about them getting the Pharisees mad at them. I mean, they've grown up with the Pharisees their whole life. It's easy for us to sit there and say, those poor, silly disciples. If I was there, I would have been on to what Jesus was doing. But, you know, that's been their whole life, their whole traditional life. And suddenly Jesus is turning it all upside down. And Jesus replied, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. This is a strong indictment. Jesus is basically saying, these are supposed to be your religious leaders. They're your political leaders. They're the people you look up to. He goes, they've got nothing to offer you. There's nothing they can do to help you. They are lost. Stay away from them. So if your hope is in pastors or politicians or celebrities, you're doomed. Our hope is to be in Jesus Christ. Yes, there are good politicians, good pastors, good celebrities, set good examples. But be careful who you invest your time in, who you listen to. Be very careful. Jesus is like, you guys have to judge what's right and what's not. And these guys are hypocrites. They got nothing. And then Peter, you know, again, it's like Peter's a spokesman, I guess. There's like, Peter, ask him. You know, they're pushing Peter because Peter goes, explain this to us. Poor Peter. You know, that question's not going to end well. And again, we can think, you know, what's wrong with the disciples? They're so dull. But if we were living there, we'd be just as lost. I mean, it's contrary to everything they know. Jesus is turning their whole world upside down. And so, of course, Peter asks them, and he just gets it over the head. Jesus says, are you so dull? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the person's mouth come from the heart and defile them. For out of your heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. You see, unwashed hands really wasn't about hygiene. The Jews in the Old Testament had purification rituals, clean and unclean. It was about following God, setting themselves apart from the nations around them. It was about being symbolically clean. You know, washing their hands. The priests were to wash their hands before they offered a sacrifice. It was representative of, you know, cleansing themselves, preparing their heart. It was an outward expression of preparing their heart before God. Now, it's sometimes hard for us to understand that, you know, the symbolism there. But the symbolism talked. It wasn't like cleaning your hands wasn't the end game. It was a representation that your heart was right before God. So if your heart's evil and corrupt and you wash your hands, big deal. And your heart will eventually reveal this, as it did for the Pharisees, because they were great at traditions. But they use them to cheat their own parents. That's just low. Now, I don't have a problem with traditions. I like traditions. But the issue was about following the Lord versus following tradition, following surrounding nations. For instance, we as a church, we have traditions. We're going to set up for Christmas. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we have a church split over decorating which side the tree should go on, I think we've missed the boat. Or if people get so upset with each other that they can't even work together to decorate the church, it'd be better not to decorate the church. We have our traditions. They're good. At work, you have traditions. You know, we would have certain traditions, like we would do birthday parties, or we would do white elephant gifts for Christmas parties. We would go out to eat for certain events. You know, there were good traditions to build morale. And people begin to look to those things. It's something they enjoy. You know, schools, colleges, universities, high schools have traditions. Like sometimes in my college during finals, they would open the cafeteria late and serve pancakes or have an ice cream social. Or they would do pancakes for supper, something really different. Just as, you know, kind of building up a, we're all in finals together and we're studying hard. Those are good. But when you begin to think that that's what's important and you fight over those things, you've missed the boat. What really matters? The Pharisees got confused. They thought the Christmas tree and where it went was more important than Advent, the coming of Jesus Christ. They didn't focus on our Lord coming as a baby to return as a sovereign king. They started caring about the tree. Now, which is more important? And we do the same things. It's a heart issue. All the things, so many things in the Old Testament, sometimes things we don't understand when we read, they seem to be external, washing your hands and different things. But they were really always reflecting a heart issue of following God. We are called to have a heart for God. So we can see how traditions can be good. We can see how they can be bad. It doesn't mean we should throw out traditions. Oh, because you can get so caught up. We're not going to have any traditions at our church. I joke. So your tradition is no traditions. That's true. So then if someone starts trying to have traditions, you get all mad at them. And then your church splits over those who want no traditions and those who want traditions, which is ironic because those who want no traditions didn't realize that was a tradition. Traditions are good. Traditions can be bad. Many of the Pharisees were good. Many were bad. Many politicians are good. Maybe more are bad. I'd like to think most pastors are good and only some are bad. I don't know. But it's all about the heart. There's a thing when you hire. What are you looking for? If a church has to hire a pastor, every church wants a 35 to 40 year old pastor with 2.1 kids who can meet all their needs. And yet has time to raise their family properly, but to visit every single person in the hospital, never miss a birthday, love their family, love their wife, but be on call 24/7 for everyone else. We want them to have 40 years of experience, a doctorate, but not to be over our heads and still only be 35 years old. 40 years old. Okay. That's not going to happen. You know, Billy Graham and Jesus aren't applying for these jobs. There's nothing wrong with wanting these things. But again, what are we focusing on? A degree is good. You know, my fancy schmancy degree is good. I'm glad I have it. But what if I'm corrupt? You'd be better off with a hillbilly with a heart for the Lord than somebody with a doctorate in theology who's corrupt. But you know what? Some churches wouldn't care, and they'd rather have the doctorate, even knowing he's a little iffy. Take the hillbilly. Some people like hillbillies, and so the hillbilly's corrupt, and they don't care because that's what we want. We're in the country folk. We want somebody just like us. Yeah, but he's going to rob you blind. But we'll love him as he does. It's a hard issue. Don't look at the external. Look at the heart. I mean, think about these Pharisees. They came up with this rule for Corban that they could cheat their own parents. Now, we look at that, and we can just laugh and say how corrupt they are. But look at these things I just read about these churches. I mean, they're laughable. Splitting over a vacuum cleaner. You know, if you've split over a vacuum cleaner, your church was dead years ago. You just didn't know it.
You're a zombie. You can't possibly care about the Lord and the lost, kids in your community, the homeless, turkey meals over Thanksgiving, if you're willing to split over a vacuum cleaner. You have missed the boat. And how sad is it that so many churches do that? I don't know how many churches are like that. Again, from Tom Rainer, I think all those stories he told us, they're not made up. They're true stories. And these people had long since lost their heart for the Lord. Long since. There are important things. Yes, you shouldn't hide the vacuum cleaner. This is a big church. Even if you're not trying to hide it, if you don't know where it goes and you put it away, I'll never find it. Okay, that's an accident. But I mean, when you got somebody purposely, on purpose, hiding the vacuum cleaner, and then these people are so mad. I'm like, I'm thrilled to think that somebody wants to vacuum clean that bad. My guess is they don't even care about vacuuming. And then when they find the vacuum cleaner, they won't use it anyways. They're just, how dare they hide it from me? It's a sad reflection on our society. I pray that we have a heart for the Lord, that we are willing to love each other, not excuse things that are wrong, not overlook sin, not ignore problems. You know, personality is not excuse for rudeness. People shouldn't be rude. But in loving, in a heartfelt response, deal with people and problems in a heartfelt, Christ-like way. Putting the needs of other above ourselves. Not letting people walk all over us. It's not what we're talking about. But lovingly, caringly, having a heart for our Lord, doing what needs to be done. You know, maybe rebuking the guy like, hey, it's not your vacuum cleaner. Quit hiding it. Instead of saying, oh, that's just Bob. We don't want to offend Bob. No, we might have to offend Bob. And you people, if you found the vacuum cleaner, would you really care or use it? Well, no. Then leave Bob alone. Bob, give us the vacuum cleaner. I mean, it's funny that I'm saying it this way, but it's so true and so needed. How many of you have been on a job where you had a boss who wouldn't deal with problems? Or you had a boss who was extreme and was just always angry and always yelling at people? You know, it's like you want a good boss who deals with problems and still loving and caring. God's calling us to be that person who has a heart for Him and His kingdom. Cares about our parents. Cares about what God says. Not trying to get around it. Not looking for loopholes. You know what? We'll pay our taxes. We'll do what has to be done. I'm not going to pay more than I have to. If I can get out of paying some, if it's legal, I'll take it. But I'll pay what I need to pay. I'll do what needs to be done. I love my country. Don't always love the people who spend the money, but I love my country. You know, I love the Lord. I love His church. Yeah, I drive some of you nuts and some of you drive me nuts. You drive some of them nuts and you drive some of them nuts. But we love each other. We have a heart for each other. And you know, if you're hiring the vacuum cleaner, they'll say, stop that. Please bring the vacuum cleaner out. We're not going to fight over a vacuum cleaner. But I still love you, and I care about you. See, when you have a heart for the Lord, we see people as the Lord does. We care about them. We want them to get well. We want to work with them. It takes work. It takes volition. You have to make a decision to have a heart to follow the Lord. It's easier to get mad. It's easier to just walk away. It is. It's easier to walk away. It takes a heart for God to work with all of us and to care about His kingdom and not ours. A heart for the Lord and His people and each other. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the words You've given us, Lord. Let us be a people who seek the heart of God. Lord, let us be a people who heart burns for you to do what's right, Lord, because we love you. Lord, give us your heart, Father, as only you can do. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen.